opinions expressed on ACB Media are those of the content creators and should not be assumed to reflect product endorsements or the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
And all the people around them, while they say kind things to them, they have no confidence in them. They take it for granted that they can't do things. And to tell the truth, in most homes, they are discouraged not to do things. Mm-hmm. They're discouraged, yes, not against doing anything. My dad always wanted me to be careful. I mustn't go a little wet here and mustn't go there. I must stay away from the well and all that sort of stuff. And of course that stimulated me to go all the more. I had, I think my chief merit was I never did. I never felt bound to do what he told me. Of course, in a little while, they gave it up. They quit telling me that I shouldn't do this and the other because they saw me go do it. After a while, they had a feeling they'd go out and tell me. They would tell me, there's some horses out there in the barn hadn't been curried this morning. Would I go out and curry them? First, they wouldn't have dared let me go to the barn alone if around the horses and all that sort of thing. So that I always advise blind children not to obey their parents, because they never get anywhere if they do.
Well, good evening and welcome back, everyone, to the CCB convention. My name is Andrea DeKlotz. I am the co-chair of the convention committee, along with our newly elected president, Sarah Harris. We welcome you to our banquet festivities this evening. I am going to let Sarah tell you what is on the menu, because she's the one who worked with the caterers on this.
So Sarah,
what are we eating? Yeah.
Okay. Well. First of all, I just have to say thank you, Noel Perry, for that great introduction. We brought him back just for tonight for everybody, just so you know. And so tonight, what we have on our menu is a lot of fun. We're going to hear another one of our great Hall of Fame vignettes. We're going to hear from our president, Gabe Griffith, and we are going to also have a little bit of fun with and start thinking of these things. So we want to hear fun CCB memories. It doesn't have to be convention, like just anything that you can think of that's, you know, kind of quirky, kind of fun, something that happened. And I think that that's going to be a really, really good joy to add to our convention here. And then we are going to roll into all of our awards, and then we got a surprise at the end. So I think it's going to be great. And then Steve, if you'd like to go ahead and cue up our Hall of Fame number 12.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
I would like to start off with Dorothy Glass, also well known by the name of Dolly. She was born in 1897. Dolly's family were on a ranch outside of Manteca, California. She was born with low vision. At the age of 6, she lost what residual vision she had and was totally blind. Her family had no idea how she, as a blind adult, would be able to support herself. or how to treat her. So they decided just to raise her just like the rest of their children. And this meant that Dolly learned ranch chores and then even rode horses, climbed trees, very active. At the age of 12, she went to the what was known at the time as the California School for the Deaf, Dumb, and Blind. She told blind staff members that she really was interested in going into cosmetology. The school could not find any courses at the time for her to take, but they did find in the local Berkeley community classes she could take in massage. And so she went through those courses and was very competent at the work. However, when she did graduate from the school, she could not get any jobs. That didn't stop Dolly. She decided, well, I'm going to go and get training in cosmetology, which she did. As you might expect, she found that there weren't salons willing to take on a blind cosmetologist. Therefore, what she did was she opened her own salon in Manteca, and she had one other chair in the salon where a fully sighted cosmetologist who did some of the types of things that she couldn't do and became a very successful businesswoman. As time went on, she decided that she'd move to Sonora and open a larger shop where she had up to 11 employees who worked for her. She did quite well, even during the Depression. While doing that, she was very involved in community and women's causes, including the blind movement. She was one of the individuals who was present during the October 6, 1934 meeting, elected as a member of the executive committee. The National Federation of the Blind in 1942 became a public relations representative. She became very successful in doing this work. She got involved with a lot of the issues that the labor unions were pushing. This started to become of concern to the Federation, and that was kind of the beginning of the parting of Dolly with the National Federation of the Blind. She eventually decided to close her shop and open up a professional answering service. She was a member of the Associated Blind of California after the split took place in 1961. Sometimes she'd be at the late evening get-togethers that Kathy Skivers would have in her room. She always kept on telling us, don't give up. There's always a way that you can go ahead. She was not a formal mentor, but gave us all encouragement as we would start thinking about our own careers after graduation from university or college, and passed away in 1988.
I am so thrilled to share that I knew someone from the Hall of Fame pretty well. Her name was Linda Bardis, and I worked closely with her when I worked with the Sacramento Society for the Blind, talking about different things we wanted to see happen between State Department of Rehabilitation and the Society for the Blind, talking about blindness in general. And I never knew she was a member of the American Council of the Blind, but I'm glad that I got to know her. And you know way more about her than I do.
Yes, Regina, I did know Linda well. I had the honor to have her as one of my good friends for over 54 years. She died in 2014, and I was at her bedside at that moment. She was CCB's paid legislative advocate starting in 1968, and she worked for the organization for several years. That was her introduction to advocacy work, which she carried on well into her years with the Department of Rehabilitation, where she rose to the level of deputy director. That she was in the department that oversees blindness and deaf and other programs. and she served under Catherine Campisi. She would often, she couldn't legally or from her position, she couldn't advocate herself, but she could slip us information, which she used to do all the time. You know, psst, Jeff, we need to work on this. And that's often what she would do in order to make her voice known and to get advocacy working for all of us. Linda, we love you.
Let me say a few things about Elmer Chapson. Again, he's not one that I knew intimately, but I knew him, and every time I saw him, I was laughing. He was a very funny guy. One thing I want to say about Elmer Chapson is he's one of the triumvirate, one of the three people in our group who was born in 1925. The other two were Kathy Skivers and Winifred Downing. They were all in 1925. Elmer was primarily a rehab counselor, a leader of a lot of the young people in the organization. He was also a person who leads the folks along who need leading. I found that he had in his retinue people who had other issues besides blindness. One of them was people who speak Spanish. I believe he was a pretty good Spanish speaker, and he dealt with a lot of youngsters that spoke Spanish and got them going on a good way toward employment. I also know that he was involved with the kids who had rubella. You know, if your mother had rubella when you were born, you have this syndrome that's not just blindness. It's hearing impairment, and it's can be mental retardation, and it can be heart problems. He became kind of the leader of those folks.
The third person that I'd like to honor is Rob Turner, who, yes, is my husband. And quite frankly, we met each other and really got to know each other through CCB. Rob has been an active member of CCB since the 1970s, when he was a student leader. All throughout the years, both in Southern California and Northern California, Rob has served as a leader and a board president, a board secretary, a board member for many chapters in Southern California and Northern California. Rob's background in technology is a fine example of the talent that he brings to this organization. He was a member of the Phoenix Committee when CCB needed to find out how it is that we can remain relevant. This committee was formed, and quite frankly, that's where the concept of virtual conventions was born. Through his technology of helping us all to navigate the world of Zoom, and through his leadership on the convention committee, Rob has helped us be able to stay connected during times when in-person was not possible, and now to continue our connections with each other so that we stay connected through the virtual world so we can continue to do our work in our community, both as far as advocacy and helping to bring together and grow leadership in our organization. And quite frankly, to be able to help us to remain as true advocates throughout California for the blind and low vision community.
Donald Wilkinson, no relation, although one time when I met him in the Oakland airport, I got to fly first class because they thought I was with him and he was flying first class. Don Wilkinson's claim to fame, and it's a good one, is that he was a blind judge. He lived in the Eureka area, and I assume he was one of the first, perhaps the first, blind judge in California.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.
Oh, gosh. These things are just so great. Oh, my goodness. And I have to say that the other thing that I want to say a little nice thing about Rob here, because I really appreciate Rob, and he's our voice of reason a lot of times in CCB. He thinks about things before he speaks, and I really appreciate that, most definitely.